This is DW News live from Berlin. The new coronavirus variant Omicron detected in more countries as scientists assess the scale of the threat. Dutch authorities confirmed 13 cases among passengers from South Africa. Governments around the world are scrambling to tighten travel restrictions. Also coming up, Switzerland votes to keep its COVID-19 restrictions as case numbers soar. Early results show the Yes campaign is heading for victory in a tense referendum on scrapping the rules. And in the Bundesliga, star striker Erling Haaland returns from injury and seals a victory, boosting Dortmund's title challenge. I'm Rebecca Ritters. Welcome to the program. Scientists are racing to assess the threat from the new coronavirus variant Omicron. Cases have surfaced in several countries, including Germany and Australia. Dutch authorities have also confirmed 13 Omicron infections among airline passengers who arrived from South Africa, which first sounded the alarm. Governments around the world have imposed restrictions on travel from Southern Africa. Scientists are still unclear, though, how infectious Omicron might be and whether current vaccines will remain effective. I'm joined now by Kai Kupferschmidt. He's a molecular biologist and science journalist. Kai, welcome to DW. Thanks for your time. There's been some talk already that Omicron may not be making people as sick as Delta. Is it still too soon to hang any hopes on that idea?
Yes. I mean, it's just too early to know this. And if you think a little bit about it, I mean, imagine if I'm tossing a coin and, you know, it lands on heads again and again. How soon are you going to accuse me of, you know, having tampered with the coin? You just need to be, you know, the same is happening here. You really need to see a lot of data because you might get a lot of very mild cases early on. But is that because most people actually do have mild cases anyway? Is it because maybe it's a young population in this case and, you know, a lot of them might even be vaccinated. So you just don't know early on, and you really have to have the patience to see what the data, how the data pans out. But it is a good reminder that the virus can go in either way. And, you know, wouldn't it be nice if it actually became milder?
It certainly would be. What about contagiousness? I mean, is the new variant much more contagious than the predominant Delta variant?
So I think it will be, you know, this is a question we'll be able to answer a little bit sooner than the question of severity, I think, but we still need more data. What's going to help with that is, sadly, the fact that we are going to be able to see how this virus now behaves in many other countries that it's spread to. And so it's very important now to look very closely there at what the data says. Is it going to replace Delta in other places where it's been seeded or not? That's what scientists around the world are watching now to get a better handle on what exactly is happening with this virus.
So clearly we still have to, you know, the data is not yet in. But what about, I mean, the question on everyone's tongues is, of course, about the efficacy of current vaccines. Do we know anything yet about whether these vaccines will fight against the virus or how difficult it might be to modify current vaccines?
Again, it's a question probably 2 weeks and we'll have an answer, because at least a preliminary answer, because people are using the virus, are using modified virus as well. To test against the sera from people that have been vaccinated and people that have recovered. And those experiments will show whether the antibodies we have, that a lot of us have, are going to neutralize this Omicron variant as well. But certainly what we know of the genome of the virus is really concerning. There are a lot of mutations there that we know help escape certain antibodies. It might also be a problem for some of the monoclonal antibody therapies that we've been using. So there is reason for concern, but again, we're going to have to wait and see. And it's certainly right. You know, when I say wait and see, I certainly don't mean that we shouldn't be acting. I do think it is absolutely right, for instance, for vaccine companies to look at how fast they can modify their vaccines and, you know, and basically get going on it in this time period where we're not sure whether we're going to need anything like this.
Certainly can't hurt to be prepared. All right, molecular biologist and journalist Kai Kupferschmidt, thanks very much for your time. South Africa was first to sound the alarm on Omicron. Now many governments have imposed travel bans from there and the wider region. DW's Adrian Kreisch reports from Cape Town.
Here at the airport in Cape Town, you can see a lot of anger, frustration and uncertainty in a lot of people's faces. Some flights have been cancelled. The remaining ones leaving the country are almost all fully booked for days in advance.
It's terrible. It's really terrible. She wants to be back with her family. She's got her grandchild there and everything. So, yes, it's very emotional. And, you know, what else can I say?
Let's just hope for the best.
Yeah.
Everything's fully booked, overbooked. You can't get tickets here. You don't know when you might get home. I have a family and three small children waiting, and I really want to go home. It's all very strange. Everything was fine when I flew in on November 11th. There was no hint of this variant. The last 2 weeks in Cape Town have been great. It's my 9th visit in 3 years. They're trying to get the economy going again. Everything's safe. I have a lot of German friends who also traveled here. Everything went mad between 9 and 11 a.m. on Friday morning. It's chaos, incomprehensible.
I'm from London, UK. I'm trying to get home today. For people that work abroad like myself, it can be very difficult. And we were starting to get that feeling that it may be behind us, all this. And now it seems to be coming back tenfold.
For many South Africans, the discovery of the variant is a reminder of what happened 1 year ago. Back then, South African scientists discovered the Beta variant, which resulted in similar reactions to what we see now. Many nations shut down their borders, which meant that South Africans couldn't travel there anymore, but it also decreased the number of tourist arrivals here. This is what many working in the hospitality industry are fearing now again.
All my clients wanted to come next week, quickly cancelled. We have already 40% unemployment. That means in the restaurant sector, coffee places sector, all the tourism places, nobody will come. And that's, I can't tell you what will happen. So it will major impact.
Everybody's just gotten to a point where there was hope for work. We've gone through a heavy period where certain tourism companies and hospitality has suffered through this whole period of COVID. And it seemed like people started coming back to Cape Town and there was some new hope. And then all of a sudden it just disappears within one morning's decision where airline chooses not to take people from here. I think it's very sad. You know what I'm saying? Because there's companies that's losing their companies. Myself, I'm self-employed. I possibly might lose my vehicle. No work, no money, no income. So it puts you in a difficult situation. Even if you look at this, the poor people that's come 2 days ago, they're all in a state of panic and everybody wants to fly out of Cape Town.
Summer, basically the beginning of the major tourism season, has just started. But with restrictions in place, the airport here in Cape Town will once again look much emptier than before the pandemic.
Meanwhile, Swiss voters have turned out in near record numbers for a referendum on the national COVID-19 restrictions. After an unusually tense and hostile campaign, early projections show a majority favour the current law. Only people who have been vaccinated, recovered or tested negative are allowed to attend public events and gatherings. The law also provides billions of Swiss francs in aid for workers and businesses hit by the pandemic. Switzerland is the first European country to put its pandemic measures to a public vote. For more, let's bring in journalist Jo Fay in Bern. She works for the International Service of the Swiss Broadcasting Corporation. Jo, it's looking like current measures have the majority support there. What do you make of the preliminary result?
Well, it's as predicted, but of course I think it's a big relief for the government, the majority of political parties here and the majority of the voting population as well. It looks like roughly 63% of voters supported this issue. They're really giving the stamp of approval to a change in the law that's already been made. So I think this shows where public opinion stands, and it will also allow the decision makers to make future changes with more confidence, really. The most controversial part of this vote has been the COVID certificate, as you mentioned in the introduction there, that we've seen some really loud, sometimes violent protests against this, and now we can clearly see that the majority of people in Switzerland do support this certificate.
Tell us a bit more about the coronavirus situation in Switzerland overall and the restrictions that are in place at the moment.
Well, we still have masks in public places, on public transport, in lots of shops, for example. But case numbers have been rising very sharply. They're up 43% on last week. And we started to see the situation change quite rapidly now. Lots of companies have reintroduced work from home recommendations, for example. And a few days ago, some cantons changed some of the rules, reintroducing masks in some indoor spaces or in schools, for example. Because of the federal situation in Switzerland, it's the cantons who would make changes first. The government is quite reluctant to introduce national measures.
So those rules looking to stay in place for the moment. Jo Fatenburn, thank you very much. I want to turn now to some of the other stories we're following for you this hour. Armed protesters clashed with police in the French Caribbean island of Martinique. Rioters blocked roads and fired live ammunition. Violence has surged recently after France announced compulsory coronavirus vaccinations for health workers and a health pass to enter public venues. Protesters are also demanding better salaries and more financial aid. The heads of NATO and the European Union have been meeting to discuss migration standoff along the border with Belarus. NATO Secretary-General Jens Stoltenberg is warning the crisis is not yet over as many people keep trying to enter the EU. LGBT activists in Mexico have rallied against discrimination and hate crimes. They say authorities have failed to investigate dozens of suspicious deaths among their community. More than 100 LGBT people were killed in Mexico in the most recent year recorded. A 7.5 magnitude earthquake has struck northern Peru. The epicentre is in a sparsely populated area in the Amazon basin, hundreds of kilometres north of the capital Lima. So far, no injuries have been reported. On to sport now. And in the Bundesliga, Bayern Munich stay on top of the table after they defeated Bielefeld 1-0 at home. An edgy affair was settled by a sensational Leroy Sané strike in the 72nd minute, his fourth goal of the league campaign. The win takes Julian Nagelsmann's side 1 point clear at the top of the table. Bayern's closest challengers, Dortmund, crashed out of the Champions League during the week. They had a chance to lift their spirits in the Bundesliga. Dortmund knew they needed a win over Wolfsburg and they did not disappoint.
Erling Haaland's return to the Dortmund bench following a swift return from injury was a welcome sign for Dortmund fans after a miserable midweek. The welcome party was short-lived, however, as Wolfsburg took the lead inside 2 minutes. Wout Weghorst clearly had something to get off his chest. A fifth goal this season for the Dutchman. Dortmund fought back and won a penalty through captain Marco Reus in the 35th minute. Emre Can stepped up to stroke home the equaliser. Game on. Despite a strong Wolfsburg performance, Dortmund stole the lead in the second half. Marlon with a moment of magic. Two goals in a row now for Marlon. This a scorching shot from distance. The forward is finally finding his feet at Dortmund. Job done, Marlon made way for Haaland and the main man received a raucous reception. The Norwegian saw a shot saved within moments. A little rusty, perhaps. Not a chance. Haaland made it three within 10 minutes of returning to the pitch. An acrobatic finish for his 10th goal of the Bundesliga campaign. 3-1 the final score. Dortmund keep their title challenge rolling as Haaland enjoyed a hero's return to make it a perfect afternoon.
We end in Brazil, in the beach city of Natal. Surfers there are naturally keen to ride the big waves. In competition, they're judged on their creativity and confidence on the board. A certain indefinable style also helps.
Some beach dogs are happy just to sit in the sun or take a stroll along the water's edge. But these dogs are surfers, with a little help from their humans. At the Surf Dog Festival, the team share their passion. The first time he got on board, he wagged his tail and started barking. His happiness started gaining other people's attention. My dog has such a good time. Worthy winners of the competition were Parafina and her person, Augusto. After the award ceremony, the furry spectators got their chance to give it a go. While some house pets seemed unsure what to make of the waves, other dogs were overjoyed to discover that they have been surfers all along.
You're watching DW News. Coming up is Sports Line.